Om Shanti. And welcome to today's session. So the session is on experiments in remembrance. And we connected to the days Murli. One of the most significant point Baba emphasizes on every Murli almost is, children, be soul conscious and remember the Father. But the topic of soul consciousness is still or has still not entered, and it's not, I should say, understood in the right way. Even though we have heard so many classes on soul consciousness, it's like we're still not getting the point. What does it mean to be soul conscious? So I have churned a little bit on the topic, and in my understanding, I wouldn't say this is what it is, this is how I understand it to be. So, soul consciousness is not only thinking that I am a soul, but for me, soul consciousness is being in the constant awareness of the qualities of the soul. And what does this mean? This means that if I know that I am a peaceful, a loving, a pure, a divine, a spiritual, happy being, then these are my natural qualities. These are the qualities of the soul. And to be in that constant awareness of the soul would mean that in thoughts, in words, and in actions, my thoughts, my words, and my actions are constantly pure, elevated, divine, peaceful, loving, sweet. Which means my thoughts, my words, and my actions are always in or under the influence of my original qualities. Body consciousness means when my thoughts, my words, and my actions are being influenced by any one of the vices. For example, the moment I get irritated, I fall into body consciousness. And what body consciousness does? The moment I fall into body consciousness, all my original qualities disappear. Isn't it so? When you get angry, you cannot be peaceful and angry at the same time. You cannot be loving and angry at the same time. It's either one or the other. So body consciousness is when my thoughts, words, and actions are being influenced by any one of the vices. Even if I am thinking or having some kind of egoistic awareness, I am under a body conscious influence. And the moment I am in body consciousness, of course, all my divine qualities disappear. So in what consciousness are we in constantly? How much of our awareness is soul conscious? And how much of our awareness is body conscious? Which is more? Because you know we teach positive thinking, no? And in positive thinking we teach them that they are creating more negative thoughts than positive thoughts. What about us? How much of our thoughts are negative? And how much are positive? Because even as Brahmins, we also have negative thoughts, no? We see something that we don't like, we start thinking. That thought, those thinkings, or those thoughts are body conscious thought. So what is the difference? Body conscious thoughts gives us sorrow, pain, or we feel hurt. When we are under the influence of body consciousness, then we are in some sort of sorrow, pain, hurt. Do you understand that? And when we are in soul consciousness, how will we feel? Loving, kind, sweet, without ego. We live in harmony. So each time there is some sort of friction, as we say clashes of sanskars. When there are clashes of sanskars, what is working? Body consciousness. Why? Clash of sanskars mean that one of the vices is working. And once there is a vice or the influence of any vice, I feel pain, I feel hurt, I feel sorrow. So how happy are we? Are we really happy? What do we experience most of all? Happiness or sorrow? Or neither one? So Baba every day in Murli calls us sweet children. That's so? Have you ever felt that kind of sweetness in yourself towards others? Yes? Very good. Very, very good. So, if Baba says that he calls us sweet children, then what is the sound of sweetness? Have we become that which Baba wants us to become? So sweet. So what would be the sound of sweetness? What do you think is the sound of sweetness? If you have to speak sweetly to someone, how would that sweetness be? So we have six people here, so we can find ourselves in pairs. And let us just see if we can speak sweetly to the person, the next person, and vice versa, other person speaks sweetly. And then you tell me, how do you feel to speak sweetly? And how, what is the sound of sweetness? So we're going to experiment, right? Because this session is about experiments. So let us experiment a little bit on sweetness today. And see how far we can reach according to how Baba wants us to become so sweet. Okay? So can we start? Yes, sure. Because sweetness have a sound. You can speak on the same topic of soul consciousness, because one of the quality of soul consciousness is sweetness. One of our divine qualities is sweetness. So let us experiment. Now, how can I speak sweetly? Okay. Two. So we can begin by speaking so sweetly. We are going to experiment so that when we leave Madhuban, at least we can say that I have learned to speak sweetly. Tao? You can have conversations, but let the words from your lips flow so sweetly. How will it be to speak sweetly? Yeah, you can join that group. We are discussing the sound of sweetness. So 2 minutes more. 2 minutes more. Okay. Are we done? Okay. So anyone want to share from their own experience what for you is a sound of sweetness? For example, if you have to speak to someone sweetly, how would that sweet words come out? You understand the question? If you have to speak sweetly, you understand it? Then how would those words flow from your lips? How would sweetness sound in your ears? So what do you think? Respectful. Respectful, yes.
It's got to be honest. It has to be
honest.
It can't be a lip service.
Okay.
If you know the person, then you can, you have something to build on and say that.
Okay. Anybody else? Yes?
Sincere.
Sincere, okay.
Pure vision.
Pure vision. In the back, how would sweetness sound to you if someone speaks to you and you feel that, oh, she speaks so sweetly to me. Then for you, what it is, or how did she speak that make you feel that she speaks sweetly? It means the words that flow from that one's lips would be so soft, so smooth, with a beautiful tone. Whenever the voice comes with high pitch, it cannot be sweet. It has to be at a low pitch, low tone of voice. Even Baba says, speak sweetly, speak softly, speak less. It's all included. Speak softly, speak sweetly, speak less. And so when we start speaking sweetly to one another, then naturally the virtues of the soul will start reflecting through you. And it leads us to what is really spiritual. The name of our institution is World Spiritual University. What is the meaning of spiritual? So spiritual means when the qualities of the soul is in effect. This means that through me, there is peace, there is love, there is happiness, there is generosity, there is sweetness, there is love, there is everything beautiful. Spirituality means when all my original spiritual virtues and values are visible. Yes. It's very good. Yeah. What's your name? What's your name?
Judy.
Judy? Very good. Nice, Judy. So we can speak, let's say, beautiful words, but when those beautiful words comes out sweetly, it has more effect. Yeah. Correct. Correct. That's right. Soothing. Very good. That's right. Because we can speak a lot. Brahmins speak a lot. But how do we speak is important. Because we can speak Gyan, the highest Gyan, the best knowledge. But if the best knowledge that we are speaking is not coming through in a sweet, in a loving, in a peaceful way, then what we say will not have any effect on anyone. Not so? Make sense? Tao? Does it make sense? Yeah. Because some of us also have that, I should say, habit of giving Gyan in a rough way. No? We're speaking Gyan, the best Gyan. But in what kind of way? Like we're scolding people. It will not, as Baba says, it will not touch the target. It will not hit the target. Our words will only have effect on another soul when those words are coming from a very pure and spiritual state. If I speak to you seriously, in a harsh way, you will not feel good. Even though it might be the best knowledge. But we can speak a simple knowledge, but so sweetly, so peacefully, so lovingly, that they want to hear more and more and more. Because nowadays, now we are hearing a lot that people don't want to hear anymore. They want an experience. But how will they get an experience if it is not coming from a pure source? They can only have an experience when it is coming from a source where there is no conflict, where the source is pure, where the source is clean, where there is clarity in my mind, and where everything that is coming out from me is for the benefit of the soul. But if there is any ego in me, any kind of irritation inside, conflict with each another or anyone for that matter of fact, then what am I giving to others? If I am having a conflict inside of me and at the same time I have to give Gyan, then what am I giving? What will I be giving? I am giving Gyan. But inside of me there is a big conflict happening. From what source will I be speaking? And would that knowledge have any effect on that soul? It will not. That's why we feel sometimes that I give so many people knowledge, but not one emerge. We say that sometimes. Does it happen? Yes, we do. Sorry?
I wouldn't say that.
Yes, we do. We know ourselves, yet still we are giving Gyan every day. But behind that there is that space that is in conflict. So what are we giving? So now, let us do an experiment on soul consciousness. So I will do a commentary, and in this commentary we are really going to look at ourselves inside. See how clean we are. Because the cleaner the soul is, the purer the soul is, the more the natural divine qualities of the soul will emerge. So can we start? Sure. I think if you repress it, it will still be there and it can pop out at any time. But if we try to clean it up, if we try to cleanse it, it might work better. Because in the end, we still have to become pure. So let us do an experiment on soul consciousness. And so for the next few minutes, you can put down your books and so on. Just let go of everything you have in your hands. be free. And let us take our attention within to the center of the forehead. And let's see ourselves in our purest state, a pure light emanating in the center of the forehead. And this pure light today has been tarnished with vices, with negativities, and because of these vices, because of these negativities, the wrong sanskars of anger, sanskars of jealousy, sanskars of ego, sometimes greed or attachment pops up. Because whatever is dear will naturally emerge at some point. And now, let me see myself cleaning these negativities that are in the soul. It is as though I am wiping away the impurities that are there. And so I visualize this dark cloud around the soul. And this dark cloud has been formed through every negative thought that I had created. And so negativity upon negativity has put stains upon stains on the soul. And these stains are blocking the light of the soul from spreading out. These stains are in the form of the vices that are still present in us. I see myself cleaning up these impurities. And the more these stains are removed, the more the darkness disappears, the more the light of the soul begins to sparkle. The more I clean up the soul, the more the light of the soul grows. And the light of the soul grows to such an extent but my light begins to emanate from the center of my forehead. And as light emanates from the center of my forehead, this light in the form of circles of light begins to create a beautiful aura of light around me. An aura of light filled with divinity. An aura of light filled with spirituality. An aura of light filled with love. I emanate light. Om Shanti. So as we work towards cleansing the soul, then naturally the powers that are embedded in the soul, the virtues, the values, the talents, the specialities that are there, will naturally start to emerge. So we don't have to make effort to speak sweetly. We have to make effort to cleanse, to purify the soul. And so the purer the soul becomes, the more the powers in the soul, the virtues and the values in the soul will naturally start to blossom. And this means then the powers and the virtues will start becoming present in your thoughts, in your words, and in your actions. And so we will not have to struggle to be in harmony with each other. Because once there is a soul conscious feeling and a soul conscious attitude in us, then everything around us falls into place. The reason why there are struggles in our relationships is because in every relationship there is some form of body consciousness, and this means some form of vice, and we all know it. When there is a conflict, what it is that is present in a conflict? Either our egos, either our attachments, either our own angers, irritation, something is always present in a conflict. But if you remove those, then our relationships become very beautiful. Why it is Baba has to tell us that we have to harmonize our sanskaras? Why it is our sanskaras are not being in harmony with each other? Because behind that there is vices. And we know the five main vices. But there are lots of smaller ones also. We have lots of smaller vices. Sometimes there could be envy, sometimes jealousy. Whatever we don't like in someone is a reflection of ourselves. But why do we have to reach that point? When would we allow our original qualities to blossom? So soul consciousness means where I only allow my goodness to show. Soul consciousness means only my virtues, my powers, my divine qualities are working, nothing else. From my personal experience, for me to show a divine quality, I have to be it. Yeah. I believe that when we be it, it will naturally show up. This is my experience. It's not that I am trying to show something and in the background there is something else. It will not show. That also will show. So whatever you are showing is what you should be first. Is it clear now? Okay. So, what are we supposed to be, I should say, experiencing amongst ourselves? Only goodness. No one should ever see from me a defect. Possible? No one should ever say that this one is like that. No. If I even think, create a negative thought about someone, that negative thought will reach that one. Because as Brahmins, we are more powerful than the non-Brahmins. And so our thought power, power of our thoughts is much more powerful and effective. So it reaches further. It reaches far. So you could be saying something to someone that may be good, but in your mind, in the back, there is something not so good that also reaches. Everything reaches. So if I am causing sorrow to someone, even through my thoughts, that sorrow that I cause or I create in someone else's mind, according to the law of karma, will naturally come back. Body consciousness is, if I give sorrow through my thoughts, words and actions, thinking I am hurting someone, before hurting someone, I am hurt. In body consciousness, we only cause hurt to others. So we could check ourselves to see, even if through my own thoughts I am causing pain or sorrow or hurt to anyone. Once we are in body consciousness, we are hurting someone else. But before we hurt someone, who gets hurt first? We. In order to hurt someone, it means I have to be hurt first. Are you understanding? If I am hurting someone, it means I am hurt first. That hurt means I am in body consciousness. What it is behind that hurt? What it is that is behind that hurtful feeling that you are having? A vice is present. Some vice or the other is present. So I am feeling hurt. Maybe expectation, who knows? I expect you to do like this or to be like this. And because you are not that, I am hurt. Body consciousness is when I am hurting. So how soul conscious are we during the day? And how body consciousness, how much body consciousness do we experience during the day? Which one is more? soul consciousness or body consciousness. And so that's why Baba tells us almost in every Murli, what does he tell us? Children, be soul conscious. What does it mean to be soul conscious? Not even in thought, words or actions. I am going to be under the influence of any form of vice. You'll understand that? What is body consciousness? Not even in thoughts, words or actions, not even in dream, not even in our vision, we should have any vices present. It destroys us as well as others. Soul consciousness is when I only allow my divine virtues, peace, love, happiness, wisdom, purity to shine, to be in effect or to be present. So this is what we should be looking at constantly. Am I causing hurt to anyone? Do I, through my words, cause sorrow to others? Okay? That's right. And that's what Baba wants us to become, no? So I believe, I'm just telling you from my own experience, or it's my own opinion, is that Baba is telling us to have yoga. The more remembrance there is, the more we are able to cleanse the soul. We are not, none of us are karmatit. Baba wants us to become karmatit. The establishment is waiting on us actually to become karmatit. Our efforts should be to become that. Karmatit simply means totally liberated from the bondages of karma. Karma teet means liberated from the bondages of karma. And so the more we have yoga, deep yoga, sincere yoga, the more we are able to cleanse. And the more the soul becomes pure, the more whatever we are suppressing inside, or we think we are keeping inside, or we hide inside of us, have to get cleansed. We are not going to take any impurities from this world to the home. It has to be cleansed here. And so all these little programs or activities that we are creating for you is for you to engage your mind, your attention, in the cleansing process. The session today experiments, you know, in remembrance. Because the more remembrance there is, the purer the soul becomes, the more elevated we become. Is it clear? Yes. So shall we finish with a few minutes of yoga? Because we are supposed... Any questions? Sorry. So it's good that you know or understand that it is karmic accounts of the past. So once you have that understanding that it is because of our past we have karmic accounts, now that I know about yoga, I can start cleansing it. And so the more yoga you have, the more you evolve spiritually, then naturally you will start feeling, getting that feeling of detachment. You don't have to think or start thinking or feeling that I have to break this attachment. No. You have yoga. Dadi Prakash Mani used to give this example that when you are making halwa and the halwa is totally cooked, it will naturally start leaving the pot. Have you ever seen? Anything that is like properly well cooked will start detaching itself from the pot. So the more yoga we have, the more naturally and easily we will start feeling detached. We'll start feeling that or having that sense of disinterest in others. But always remember that we are only playing roles together. It is not my daughter. So the first mistake is thinking, my daughter, my son, my husband, my wife, they are not mine. Who do they belong to? Everyone belongs to Baba. So whose child is this? So if you say it's yours, then you have to take care of him. But if it is Baba's, then who will take care? Baba has to take care. Put that child in Baba's, under Baba's light. Baba, this is your child. This is not my child. You did not make the soul, no? You were just an instrument for the body. You only gave, or you just say you lent your body to allow a soul to take birth. Soul does not belong to you. To whom does all the souls belong? To Baba. So whose child it is? It's not yours. You are just a medium through which a soul can come into this world. So allow the soul to also have that connection and relationship with God. And so your attachment, your bondage to souls will finish. But if you continue saying, my child, my son, my daughter, then you are constantly pulling that soul towards you. Each time you say, my son, my daughter, my wife, my husband, what you're doing? You're pulling that soul to you. But if you say that they are Baba's also, then you put them under Baba's light. So then Baba is responsible, not you. Okay? Any other question? Anyone? In the back? No? Yeah?
Yeah, it was service you're describing is very different.
Yes. Yes. So service is not only speaking, but from what source is this information coming from? So when there is purity, there is peace, there is love for souls from the inside, from a pure source, from a sincere, honest source, means I honestly want to serve this soul. Then from that pure source, the energy that would emerge is what will touch the soul. It's not how much I say. It's not how much gyan I can give, or the best or highest knowledge I can give, but from what source is this knowledge coming? Is there peace inside of me? Is there love for the soul inside of me? Am I happy giving the soul gyan? Or am I just routinely, you know what is routine? I routinely have to give courses. No, it will not work. You will get tired. But when the knowledge is coming from such a source, well prepared means there is love, there is happiness, there is purity, all the virtues present, then that energy is what will strike the target. Okay? Is it clear, everyone?
Yeah.
So can we just finish with a moment of silence?